Up. 1, 2. That's the PK. She's a preacher's kid, that one is. Good job, Erica. If you have your Bibles, turn with me now to 2 John, the epistles. Epistle's a fancy word for letter, isn't it? 2 John. I want to preach on this subject tonight. Absolute truth. Jesus is the truth. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. I hope you had a good Sunday. And word has come to me that Matt did just fine today, to the glory of our Lord. It's good to hear about good preaching. And I want to thank our Lord and our sweet, sweet pastor, Reverend Dr. Mark Wilson, pastor to us, Brother Mark to us, for the opportunity to preach God's word tonight. 2 John. And I want to turn to the 7th chapter. I thought that might get a few people's attention. Let's just begin in verse 1. 1, 2. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in what? Truth. And not only I, but also all those who have known the what? Truth. Because of the what? Which abides in us and will be with us for how long? Forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in what? And what? And love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received the commandment, received commandment from the Father. And may God bless unto us the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our gracious and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word, grateful that You've loved us enough to leave us this love letter. I pray right this moment, just for the next few moments, Lord, that we may cast our affections on things above, forget the things outside, just for a few minutes, and help us stay focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and in whose name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to guess Jeff Sawyer and Matt McKay can bear witness to what I'm about to say. We all hear a lot about truth and honesty. And when I hear young people say, or anybody say, let me be honest with you, I'll say to them, aren't you always honest with that? Yeah. Or if they'll say, to tell you the truth, and I'll say, oh, does that mean everything you've said before wasn't the truth? See, when someone says that, what they really mean is, let me be perfectly frank with you. Or, in all candor, let me say this. Or, let me be candid with you. And so somebody years and years ago broke me of the habit, so I try to break all young men of that habit. They know I love them that way. Because there's all kinds of truth out there, isn't there? For example, there's mathematical truth. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. That's a mathematical truth that's absolute. But then, of course, there's scientific truth. Planet Earth, if it were 100 miles closer to the sun, would burn up. If it were 100 miles further away from the sun, would freeze. Scientific truth is an absolute truth. But then, of course, there are geographical truths as well. California is on the West Coast, a geographical truth. And west of California is the Pacific Ocean, a geographical truth. There is all kinds of truth. But John, in his epistle, in his letter, is not talking about mathematical, scientific, or geographical truth. John is writing about spiritual truth. But just like the other truths, spiritual truth is absolute. The Word of God reminds us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's an absolute truth. And John tells us three things about truth before he reveals to us what truth is and the truth that he's writing about. Number one, he says in verse 1, it's a truth that we can know in our mind. What's verse 1 say? You haven't closed your Bible yet, have you? To the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only, but I also, all those who have known the truth. John says, I'm writing to you about a truth that is known and can be known. But then in the second place, in verse 2, he says, it's a truth that you can experience in your heart. Verse 2 says, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. John says it's a truth that you can experience in your heart. It's a truth that you can experience in your life. And it's a truth that where you walk, it walks. Where you go, it goes. Whatever you do, it does. And it's a truth that transforms your life. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you conduct yourself. Because it is something you can experience in your heart. But then in the third place, John's talking about a truth that can be demonstrated in your life. Verse 4 tells us that. Look what it says. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. Walking in truth. Now, folks, the Bible, the Word of God, uses the term walk to refer to a manner of our life. The way we believe, the way we live. The way we conduct ourselves, our lifestyle. You hear people say all the time, in his walk. Another way of saying it is, in his faith journey. John says to us, I'm writing to you about a specific truth that is a spiritual truth that you can know in your mind, experience in your heart, and demonstrate in your life. Now, that's pretty good truth, wouldn't you say? Now, what is the truth that John is writing about? Well, verse 3 gives it away. The truth that John writes about is Jesus. Now, we're not surprised by that because in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus himself said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John knew who the truth was. And John knew that the truth was not some precept. John knew that the truth was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth. Jesus tells the truth. Jesus walks in truth. Jesus lives in truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And so what we're saying here and what's being said here is that there are three things about this Jesus who is the truth that I want you to consider tonight. Just three. Number one, Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 3 says it this way. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Beloved, you and I are sons of God if we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But we are not the Son of Jesus, of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is the source of grace, mercy, and peace. And my friends, I'll go as far as to say you can't have grace, you can't have mercy, and you can't have peace from any other source than Jesus Christ. There is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no peace in the name of Allah. There is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no peace in the name of Muhammad. There is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no peace in the name of Buddha. There is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no peace in the name of Confucius. There is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no peace in the name of Stalin. My friends, but in Jesus, there is grace. In Jesus, there is mercy. And in Jesus, there is peace. Grace, mercy, peace go together with Jesus. Now, we all recognize that grace is that God, unmerited favor from our Lord. Is that right? God's unmerited favor that we don't deserve. It's a gift of God. God's unmerited favor that we can't earn. God's unmerited favor that we can't buy. Everyone gets grace. And if we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus and receive by grace through faith, we can be saved. But mercy, on the other hand, is the other side of the coin. We get grace and don't deserve it, but mercy is what we don't get when we do deserve. In other words, that which God withholds from us that we really do deserve is mercy. For example, grace I do not deserve. I don't deserve eternal life, but by God's grace, eternal life is bestowed upon me. I don't deserve forgiveness, but by God's grace, forgiveness is bestowed upon me. I don't deserve my name being written in the book of life, but by God's grace, my name is written in the book of life. Mercy. I deserve the wrath of God, but God's mercy withholds it from me. I deserve the fire of hell, but God's mercy withholds it from me. I deserve eternal retribution of God, but God's mercy withholds it from me. I like grace. I like mercy. But not only is there grace and mercy, besides that, the Word of God teaches that there is peace in Jesus. I don't know how you can help from having peace if you have grace and mercy. And the peace that we have with God, the Word of God, when Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, tells us that through the blood of his cross, Jesus' cross, he made peace for us. And the expression made peace comes from the Greek word irene. It just means to join together. And in plain talk, beloved, on Calvary's cross, there's no greater illustration of joining together. For here we see on Calvary's cross the Lord Jesus reaching his hand to heaven to touch the holy hand of God and reaching with his other hand down to sinful man to join the two together. I'm no longer a stranger to God because of that joining together. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're no longer a stranger to God either. I'm no longer an enemy of the Lord. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, you no longer are an enemy either. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth, but I've been adopted, my name's written down, and I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. There is also the peace of God that passes all understanding. By the way, can't be found on the couch of a psychiatrist. The peace that passes all understanding cannot be found in a vial of Valium. The peace that passes all understanding can only be found in Jesus. And the Word of God reminds us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God. And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Don't do this. Don't do this. At my first church, a fellow who worked in the heat vac industry, you know, heating and air conditioning and so forth, blue collar fella, wonderful fella, told me he had a perfect peace because he was put his trust in the Lord Jesus, about to have surgery on his brain. I didn't believe him. Don't do that. It can happen. I have since grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I didn't think he was a liar, but I thought he didn't want me to worry and he didn't want his wife to worry. But he had a perfect peace. And the Lord brought him through the surgery. He lives to this day. I've seen him when I've gone back to preach homecomings. He's had a perfect peace. And it's the peace that passes all understanding. Comes from one source, our Lord God Jesus Christ. And it only comes through personal knowledge with Him. He's the Savior, and He's the Lord of our life. And John says, number one, Jesus is the Son of God. That's a truth you can know in your mind. But number two, he says, Jesus is the source of all grace, mercy, and peace, even that peace that passes all understanding that will sometimes cause us to doubt. And that's a truth you can experience in your heart. But then he reveals to us in verse 3 that Jesus is Lord. Look what it says. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. John says from the Lord Jesus Christ, John says that Jesus is Lord. John says we don't have to make him Lord because he is Lord. John says we don't have to crown him as Lord because he is Lord. And friends, he is Lord of everything. He's Lord of time. He is the great I am. He is I am past. He is I am present. He is I am future. I like to share it this way. The one who created time is always on time, in time. He's the great I am. He's the Lord over demons. He's the Lord over disease. You remember the story in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, the woman with the blood issue made her way through the crowd and just touched the H-E-M of the H-I-M. And was cured. And in Mark 5, we see the story of Jairus. His daughter was dead, and our Lord is Lord over death. Jesus was never too late to come to Jairus' aid. He's always an on-time God. Tonight, John reminds us that Jesus is a truth that you can know in your mind. He says, I'm writing to you about it. Then he says, Jesus is a truth of the source of grace, mercy, and peace. And that's a truth you can experience in your heart. And I'm writing to you about it. And then he says, Jesus is Lord. And that's a truth that can be demonstrated in your own heart. Now here's the question for us. Do we know Jesus? Have we put our faith and trust in Him? Have we trusted Him for the salvation of our soul? Have we trusted Him for the forgiveness of sin? Have we trusted Him for everlasting life? Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace. Jesus, a truth that we can demonstrate. So as our musicians make their way, if you're here tonight and you've not met our Lord Jesus, the truth, this would be a great time for you to come meet Jesus. You could come and leave the church house saved tonight. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, peace, truth, salvation, forgiveness. If you're here tonight and already know Jesus as your personal Savior, are you demonstrating that Jesus is Lord in your life, a truth that you can demonstrate? Maybe you need to repent of something. I don't know. You and the Lord know. Still, you may be here tonight and would like to join this sweet fellowship. Pastor Matt's here to receive you. Whatever the need might be, don't delay. As we sing, as we stand, God will meet you right where you are.